Internet and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting.
Welcome to episode one of The Gamer Show on the British Tech Network with me, Paul Wheatley. And as always, I have here Sam.
Hi.
Hi, how are you? As always, this is
episode
one.
As always, indeed.
And, this is, you're here always.
He's never far away.
I'm always outside.
How are you doing this week?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good, good. And with him is Sam's trusty sidekick, Chiz. How are you doing?
Hello.
Hello, hello. How's it hanging this week?
Usual.
To the left.
Very good. So we're going to start off by just talking about what we've been doing this week. Sam, have you been playing anything at all this week?
Yeah, I've been playing Empire, Total War, Shogun, Fall of the Samurai.
Wow. Again. How are you finding that?
I get to shoot samurais. It's good.
It's good. Yeah. It's good, good, good. Chiz, what about you? What have you been playing this week?
Been checking out a few demos. There's Dragon's Dogma, which isn't too bad, looks interesting. And the other proper game I've been playing was The Walking Dead by Telltale Games.
All right, okay, cool. We're going to kind of talk about that later on a little bit, aren't we? Just going to talk about the how far you're getting on with it and stuff like that. So,
yeah.
I've been kind of going back to old games. I've been playing Modern Warfare 3 this week and Arkham City. I met up with Dr. Freeze and found it incredibly annoying. So, yeah, the battle where you've got to try and disable Dr. Freeze so you can get the antidote that's in his safe. And I could do it. I just found it really annoying. It was just... I'm really enjoying the game, but I'm finding these kind of boss scenes just that touch repetitive, and it's bugging me. And I'm kind of getting to a boss scene and then kind of going, again?
Really?
Yeah, I'm just finding them really repetitive. I'll go back to it. I mean, I'll probably go back to it this weekend, to be honest, but certainly I played it this week and then kind of got to that, didn't enjoy it. Dropped it and went on to Modern Warfare 3 to do a bit more on that. So,
yeah, first player I've ever heard that would rather play Modern Warfare 3 than Batman.
I'm not going to say I would rather play it. I just
prefer getting shot in the head.
Yeah, I just needed something a bit different. I was enjoying it, and I will go back to it. I just it wasn't even a case of getting stuck. I played it for a bit and then gave up because I was sick of wandering around the room. I can't even remember. You're in the police station, actually.
Yeah.
You're in the police I knew where I was.
The room.
Yeah, I just got sick of wandering about there. But
did you not find the boss fights are better than the new one they were in the last one?
I'd say they were better. I particularly liked the Solomon Grundy boss fight. I thought that was very good.
All right, I mind you tell me that you didn't like that one. That's why you left.
I found it really annoying. I took a while to get past that one. I'm not what you would say a seasoned gamer, but I took a little while to get past Solomon Grundy. But I did enjoy it. I have to admit, it was good. It was different, and it wasn't just kind of like beat him up a bit and then run away and hide while he throws stuff at you, and then come back and beat him up a bit more. It was you had to kind of think about how you were trying to attack him there, because he kind of changed the way you attack him the three times.
I would say it's Mr. Freeze is more that way rather than Solomon Grundy, because you have to, because he learns to your moves, he adapts, and then you have to
figure
something different. It's actually a lot better and harder if you play it on is it insane mode, or
are you implying I wasn't playing on insane mode?
Paul, it's you, yes.
Indeed, indeed. Anyway, on to that. So that's basically what I've been doing this week. So in the news in the last couple of weeks, got a few news articles I want to talk about. So the first thing, and it's quite close to all of our hearts, I think, is the fact that next-gen consoles, this rumour has reappeared again, that next-gen consoles will be blocking second-hand games.
Filth.
That basically is the opinion of all of us. But is this likely to happen, though? I mean, realistically.
The rumour's been going around for a wee while, and it was Crytek. Somebody from Crytek came out and said it would be they would like that to happen, although they've since said they weren't being serious. But, you know, as you're doing, you make comments to journalists. But I think it's the developers would probably prefer it so people bought their games rather than pre-owned.
Even if they could come up with some kind of system whereby they still got a cutback. You know, when the game's, like, resold... Yeah, you know, there's some games out there. I mean, for goodness sake, like, the new Mario Brothers game on the Wii is going... And Mario Kart for the Wii is still reselling second-hand for gynier what you can buy it.
Is it?
Buy it new. It's ridiculous. So even if they worked out a system whereby and the game developer still got a percentage of that resale value back.
Yeah.
Why should you not be able to sell something that you have bought and therefore own?
Well, yeah, that is a fair point. That's a fair point. I'm just thinking about ways
you can do it with books,
can
do it with music. Why? No,
it's digital though.
I can't really see them actually going ahead and happening, because it'd make no sense at all. It would kill people renting games as well.
Yeah, the article in particular that we're looking at is the one on CVG that I was reading. And at the bottom it then goes on to talk about piracy, and it's almost kind of suggesting that buying second-hand games is piracy. And because it goes on to like the PC industry having problems with piracy, because was it Crysis 2 was the most pirated game in 2011 or something like that. And it almost tries to compare reselling second-hand games and your CEXs and your games and game stations and so on of the world as a type of piracy. It just boggles the mind, frankly.
But all digital media suffer from the same thing. Films, digital books, whatever. Music. They're all suffering the same thing, but none of them, apart from the games industry, are saying that you're not allowed to resell your product.
Yeah, I know. I suppose you can just still resell your DVDs and everything like that in very similar places. So I think this is one to watch. It may or may not happen.
I can't see it happening, to be honest. No, it makes no sense, and I can actually imagine a percentage of people actually not bothering with it at all. And
yeah,
I can see it happening.
Yeah,
they pretty much already done it with PC games. Why not with consoles?
With DRM, which I think has actually made piracy worse, to be honest, because there's a lot of people who won't actually go near a game now because of that, and they'll just go and pirate instead, just to basically give the developers the fingers.
The thing is, if somebody's going to pirate, they're going to pirate. You know, you stick DRM in, and folk are going to get around that DRM and still pirate. I mean, what DRM does is it just limits completely legitimate users. So, for example, if I bought a game, and I mean that hypothetically, not as in I always pirate them, but if I bought a game and then I wanted to install it on another PC I had in the house, DRM would get in the way of that, or some DRMs. I know there's different varieties. So all DRM really gets in the way is that people want to do it legitimately. Yeah. If you want to pirate it, you're going to pirate
it. It's punishing the people who are actually buying the games.
Totally. So, yes, something that we possibly need to watch, and I'm sure more or less of this will unfold, because it's not as if this is a new story. The next thing, this one is Dishonored. We were watching the trailer for Dishonored. It's not actually a trailer, sorry, it's a preview, isn't it?
It's a trailer, but it's not an in-game trailer, it's just a CGI trailer of just kind of showing off what the look and the style and the gameplay mechanics of the game's going to have. And what I've seen of screenshots of the game and stuff, it looks pretty impressive. It's like...
Yeah, it definitely does.
There's a lot of guys who are involved who made the... it was System Shock and Deus Ex, and it's got the artist from... It was Half-Life 2. That's it. The game's looking really, really impressive, I think.
I mean, it looks fantastic.
I'm really looking forward to it. It's the sort of game that's right up my street.
Yeah, definitely. What's the kind of the storyline behind it?
I think it's set in...
Gothic, steampunk.
Yeah, it's set in a city that it's been based on London, but it's called... it's Dunwall, I think. And it's basically a futuristic sort of steampunk city where you play... you're a security guard for the Empress, and the Empress has been killed. And you get set up and take the blame for it.
Right.
So
okay.
It's basically a revenge game from then. But you're free to go about. You're free to go about taking out your targets in any way you want, really.
Okay. And so, what's the mask thing? I noticed in the trailer, is this mask he kind of puts on?
I don't know. That's something I think it'll still be. It's obviously
still to be released.
The Masked Avenger.
Yeah. It's not that Jim Carrey plays any part in this.
Hopefully not.
No. Okay.
It looks like it has a bit of an element of the old Thief games to it as
does,
well.
Yeah.
Mm. I
love steampunk stuff generally. I think the whole
there's a Thief 4 in the making. You'd be pleased to know.
Is there?
Yes. Same. Don't know if it's the exact same guys, but same studio that made the latest Deus Ex game as well.
Very saucy.
And that segue of Sam talking takes us quite nicely into the fact that you can control Skyrim on the Kinect by talking. Was that for a link? Did we enjoy that one?
Poor.
So, yes.
Him to Paul.
This week...
Hide behind your pillow for you want. I'm still going to punch you.
I just bumped into the microphone there. So this week, Skyrim released Kinect voice controls. Which
interesting looks, concept.
Yeah, and which you, with the game, and the only person with Kinect hasn't tried yet.
Busy, only got released yesterday. Yeah, it actually looks really interesting. Actually, other than my big complaint about not being able to fight whilst on horseback, it fixes a couple of things about the game that really bugged me, to be honest. But you're out of the trailer that we watched, which was on i.joystick.com. I've never even heard of that website, to be honest.
Just Joystick.
Joystick. Yeah, no, I just thought it was interesting. It's www.joystick. It's i.joystick. You can give some of your items when you're overloaded to your...
to be fair, you only played about 30 minutes of the game entirely.
It's not 30 minutes. Yeah. I played it for a good
have
couple of hours.
Have to do that during the gameplay anyway.
Well,
have to do it.
Yeah, I know, but I only just found out from watching that video there, because one of the things you can do is you can use voice commands to give some of your rubbish to your follower. And you can do that all through voice commands, and you can also reorder all your stuff in your backpack and whatnot. By price or by weight or whatever. you find it funny that I said backpack.
I've got a bad back. I need to get a more exotic sort of position here.
I have gone blind.
Superb. Yeah, Chiz is there.
I don't think this needs to be discussed.
Chiz has changed his position for being in front of the mic to what I can only describe as a fully clothed, just to be clear. glamour pose for one of the anyway, moving on.
It feels weirdly comfortable.
One of the things I saw them do, which I found particularly interesting, was using the Kinect. He just told it to reorganise his stuff by weight.
That'd be really
and,
very interesting.
And by price as well. That would be really useful.
There's not an actual option in the buttons to do that, is
there? I've never seen it.
Unless they've added that as well with the Kinect.
Yeah, I think it would make sense. I think you'd have like PlayStation... not PlayStation. What did I say? PlayStation for that? I think you'd have people complaining that if they didn't have Kinect, that functionality wasn't available.
Alternatively, we're illiterate fools and we didn't manage to find it.
It is possible.
Although we've not played it since the update, so it might well be there, but we've played it since.
You know, I played it for 3 hours total. I'm up to the Greybeards mission, which, as far as I understand it from everybody else...
How many hours are you on this?
I think it's 143. It's like I'm basically done with all the main quests, and I'm looking forward to the DLC, which is coming out in the summer, I think, called it's Dawnguard.
Last check, I was on 96, and I haven't finished it yet.
Yeah. If I'm lucky, I've breached 4.
Okay.
I'm enjoying it, though. It's good.
Still hasn't met my Empire Total War record of 327.
That is incredible. I just don't know how you can... We're kind of going off Skyrim here, but I just don't know how you can... I mean, I enjoy those games, but 347 is just ridiculous.
It just adds up over time. If it's a game you've been playing for... a couple of years.
It has been out for like 2 years.
Exactly.
That is true, it just
adds up. It's not like he's played it, he's had it a month and ranked up that.
I suppose it shows how often Sam reformats his hard drive as well. Oh no, that would be your Steam, so it doesn't actually matter.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you very much, Paul.
Yes, indeed. That looks very interesting. I will be sure, in fact, I will try my utmost for a test this out, being the only one out of the three of us with Kinect. I will test this out before the next show.
We'll all give it a go this weekend.
That's actually not a bad idea. We will get together and we will have a shot of Skyrim Kinect this weekend.
We could just have a bash of it after the podcast.
We are all in my house. Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
In fact, scrap the podcast. Let's just play.
For sure.
Moving on nicely. Nintendo's earnings calls came out this week. Now, this isn't a podcast for anybody who invests stock, so I'm not really going to go into the numbers particularly, apart from the fact that it was pretty horrendous. So I suppose the question that I'm going to ask to you guys is how could Nintendo fix themselves now? How could they pull out of the bag?
Get a better main guy instead of Mario.
No, we're going to get a lot of hate for you saying
he
that.
He looks like a hairy, child-friendly person.
Between now and next week's Homicide, it'll just be me and you doing the podcast next week.
Yeah, I think Sam's going to be taken down.
I do not like Mario, and I never have.
Yeah, I mean, they've kind of reinvented themselves before, but reinvented is maybe the wrong word. But when they brought out the Wii, everybody kind of, you know, that was kind of their, that was kind of their gasp there, and they did it. Sega did a different direction. Sega now make games for everybody else. Personally, I think the key to Nintendo's success here, success is maybe the wrong word, but what they could do is they, I mean, the people who currently own smartphones and tablets are the same people that played Mario in the 80s. Bring out a Mario game that you use your iPhone or Android handset as the NES controller, and you have the game on your iPad or Android tablet.
Nintendo, unless they actually stop making its consoles, I can't see them doing that.
No, I agree. I'm just saying that would be awesome. I would buy one of them.
It was the Wii and the DS basically printed cash until... it's basically their sales of their games have totally died.
The 3DS.
I wonder why that was. Was it a complete failure to bring anything decent out?
Basically, there wasn't enough. It was proper good games. It was aimed at the casual crowd. And fair, what's actually taken over the casual crowd now has been mobile games and iPad and whatnot.
Yeah.
And so to rectify it, I'm sure I read somewhere today that the Wii U they're going to aim to get back to actually a lot of proper games on it to actually get some people back while still having the casual crowd.
If you're going to bring out a console, you have to bring out a serious console.
Yeah.
They just faffed around with it.
They have. I think they've got an off chance coming up fairly soon, though. They're bringing out a new 3DS in purple.
Well,
that's going to save them. That's going to save
them. That'll match up with my red, white, and blue and gold.
I have to say, talking about the kind of casual gamer thing, I bought Morgan, my daughter, a 3DS, and she also has an iPod Touch. And the 3DS got played. She has one game for it. It got played for a bit, got bored, and she went back to her iPod Touch. I mean, she's an 8-year-old. That is, I would say, what this kind of metallic purple DS is kind of aimed at, that kind of age range, probably even that gender. It's perfectly aimed at her, and she's not interested. She's quite happy with her iPod Touch. You know, when you compare the kind of total cost of ownership between an iPod Touch and a 3DS, sure, I think actually an iPod Touch is more expensive to buy in the first place, but games for an iPod Touch are like £2.
Yeah.
Whereas games for the 3DS, substantially more expensive. And the 3D just is a gimmick, as far as I'm concerned. 3D just now is a gimmick, generally.
I hate 3D. It's rubbish.
I know.
I am such a grumpy old man.
Even when you go and see films that have not been made for 3D, as soon as it gets slightly dark, you can't see a bloody thing.
I know,
definitely. So, Nintendo... Are we signing their death certificate now? Are we, we can't think of any way that they're going to fix themselves?
Well, I'm still kind of looking forward to see what the Wii U looks like, even though it's still got a ridiculous name. But I don't know.
It's
Nintendo themselves always generally make good games themselves, but it's their third-party games. People just make really crap, basically.
Yeah.
It's like, get a casual game out for mum.
Two games, or two methods I think they could have taken to... boosting. One, they could have called it the Wii P, which would have just been a classic move. And sound business sense. And the second one is you could have
a new controller for that? No, we probably don't want to go down
no,
that road.
No, we really don't.
No.
the second one is to have a game where you can slowly torture, then dismember Mario. And feed him to Luigi.
Yeah, you're just really, really trying to bait the fanboys here. I think we're going to move on before Sam gets taken out. That's basically the news we wanted to cover this week. I'm fully aware that's probably not all the news that was around in the gaming industry this week, but frankly, it was all the ones that we were interested in. So we're going to shuffle on quite nicely onto the calendar now. This is a section of the show that we're going to cover the upcoming games in the next 2 weeks and give them our opinion in short kind of 30-second sound bites, or probably even less than that. So, in our opinion, or certainly in my opinion, please shout in. I would say that the next kind of interesting thing coming out is Diablo 3 on the 15th of May. So that's 12 days away.
Is that soon? It's been delayed or held off that long. I didn't realize.
This is certainly according to VGReleases.com. It's the 15th of May. Thoughts on that?
I've never really played the first two. Sam, you're the one that's played them.
They were brilliant in the time. None.
You got no interest at all? No interest.
No.
Fine, that's that one shut down. Game of Thrones comes out the 15th of May as well.
Interested, but don't believe it'll be any good.
I can't imagine it being out that quick as well.
Max Payne 3 again on the 15th of May.
I've got that pre-ordered. I enjoyed the first two, so I'm looking forward to that.
Apparently the PC version of Max Payne, the recommended requirements for a PC that doesn't actually exist yet.
I think
awesome.
I don't think they were the recommended. They were the highest.
But still, you can you want to play it at more than 4 frames per second.
I read that, but I think a lot of people misread it. I wouldn't have thought, like it says, yes, you'll need a PC that needs to take over the world before you can play Max Payne.
Leads quite nicely onto an article that we're going to discuss in a little while, I would imagine.
We're
grasping the £600.
Yeah, that was we had a small list of news articles if we got through the original ones early, and we were going to talk about actually. I suppose it's jumping back.
A little ludicrously priced.
We were going to talk about the NVIDIA GeForce GTX 690 that's been released, and looking up on prices, the only price I could find was the American price, which is $1,000. Now that probably equates to somewhere in the region. I should have done the math here, but probably equates somewhere about 800 quid or something like that. But quite often with technology, they just exchange the dollar sign for pound sign, certainly they do with Apple Kit, and so that's possibly $1,000, and you could get £1,000, and you could get probably two not great but all right gaming PCs for that price.
You could probably get two very good gaming PCs for that price. But honestly, if you're paying any more than £500 for a PC, it should be pretty damn good, to be honest.
So, I mean, this isn't maybe just for the gaming market. This is also maybe for high-end videographers and things like that. But, incredibly priced video card. Let's hope it can replace my accountant, because I might actually consider it then. Sam's quite right. We were going to talk about that before.
It's not unusual for a new graphics card. Well, it's a top-end graphics card that costs around about £600, like between £400 and £600. But unless that one, for whatever reason, is £1,000 in America, but £400-£600 here. But I can't imagine it being that sort of price difference. Yeah. But still, it's like,
so we'll wait and see for that one.
Mainly been designed, though, to play Max Payne 3.
But if anybody at NVIDIA is listening to this and they want to send us a test one, more than happy to accept.
Three to make sure.
To make sure. I can't put it in my mouth.
Actually, six, because we want each one to try an SLI as well, surely, won't we?
Yes. Certainly.
Well, if they could actually send me a PC as well, because I don't own a PC, so that I could put it in. Maybe it can go to Mac Pro, actually. Maybe. I don't know. So
does that mean
NVIDIA?
You'd have to buy a Mac Pro? You know, you get excuse from Kirsty to buy a Mac Pro there, don't you?
But I've got this ridiculously expensive graphics card.
Going to put this shiny thing.
We promise we will send at least one of them back. So that's the calendar. There is other games coming out. There's actually quite a few games that I was interested in talking about, but we'll cover them in the next show, because they come out just after the next show. I should have mentioned this at the top of the show, actually. We plan to do the show fortnightly, so we will cover all games in the next fortnight. So moving on swiftly into the review section. So this week, Chiz, who's shaking his head, and the reason he's shaking his head is because he tried The Walking Dead this week and was going to review it, but he's complaining because he's only played 3 hours of it, hasn't completed it, and can't really review it. But I still think that he could say a little bit of something about it. So tell us about The Walking Dead.
Mainly, though, Paul, you think he can say something about it because the most you've ever played a game is about 3 hours. So,
well, surely he could complete a game in 3 hours. If you can't complete in 3 hours, there's no point. Actually, no, that's a lie.
The point wasn't even 3 hours, because episode one, and I can't imagine it being probably much more than that anyway.
Right. But, well, I have the achievement for completing Grand Theft Auto 4 in under 10 hours. So.
Well done.
And it took me the third go through the game, so clearly I have played Grand Theft Auto 4 at the very, very least 29 hours.
Most impressed.
Yes. I loved that game, though. It's primarily due to pigeon catching. The achievement
on
where you had to
move
kill all
on
the pigeons.
Move on.
That was probably the most tedious achievement ever to get.
I still don't have it. And you know, I've actually killed all the pigeons once. I was sitting playing it one day. I had got my, I think it's 50 pigeons, isn't it? It's 100. Anyway, I was about 20 away, whatever it was, 50 or 100. I was about 20 away from completing it. Saved the game. Killed the further 20. Found the last one. Killed it. Red Ring of Death.
So before even the achievement popped, the Xbox died.
Yep. Red Ring of Death at the point of the bullet entering the pigeon's head. And I've never gone back and completed that because this is completely anal of me, but I have an Excel spreadsheet of where all the pigeons are, and they were checked off as I killed each of them.
Right, that's it. I'm out of it.
This is why I said move on.
but yeah, so anyway, that's kind of coming off topic a wee bit. So Walking Dead, Grant, how's it going?
Yeah, it's pretty good so far. If anyone's played a Telltale game before, it's kind of, well, not really, it's kind of point and click. It's not really action packed too much. It's a lot of its characters, and it remembers it's the choices you make, and the characters either trust you or don't, depending on what you've said, and try to gain their trust and the choices you make. There's a part early on where I tried to save a guy, failed miserably, and I saved a kid. So I thought, I'm going to replay that wee bit to see if I can save him. I think it turns out you can't save the guy at all, but I'm hoping later on I'll get more choices where I can totally mess up. And I think it's one of the games that a second playthrough, I can play through it and just basically be a dick to anyone and see what happens. Mm. In the first playthrough, I'm doing my usual thing of, if it was me, what would I... Well, a far, far braver version of me, what would I do? Because obviously, if the real zombie apocalypse, I'd probably be wetting myself in a closet or something.
Yes, so...
But no, it's okay so far, but I shall report back next one when I've finished episode one to see if it's any good or not, but so far, so good. Quite a nice little cheap game. It's 400... It's Microsoft points. Oh, I would love Microsoft points, but...
They're supposed to be abolishing that, aren't they?
Yeah.
I've heard that rumour. I don't know if it's true or not as well. I don't know. But they could do with getting rid of it, although I don't know how they're going to get round of all the people who probably got points saved. And they can just convert it
to money.
Yeah, I suppose.
Or they could do what
But they keep
Nintendo
changing
do.
How much it's all worth, do they not? I don't know.
They could do what Nintendo do. You know, Nintendo do that thing whereby you put in a code whenever you buy a Nintendo product and you save up voucher codes. And then eventually you can go into a shop, like an online shop, and exchange all those codes for gifts. Everything from a Mario sticker to like a new case for your DS. And I managed to save up enough points to get sun blinds for the back of Kirsty's car, one with Mario and one with Luigi on.
Do we not, in general, as a society, already have the ability to do these things with tokens that we collect daily by working called money?
Yeah, I know, but Nintendo do this. They send them completely free of charge. Apart from all the controllers, Wiis, DSs. And...
Sam, I'm going to call a vote at the end of the show so we get a new third host.
Yes, so...
But moving I'm on. Dead
so,
anyway. Anyway, that,
yeah. So, so far, so good. Recommend. I download.
Well, there's the trial, so you can try the trial, though the trial is pretty short and whatnot. But it gives you a taste. And actions, you get attacked by a zombie, and you kind of have to aim with the right stick, then press a button. Basically, you have to get the analog stick, aim at the right point at the right time, and a certain amount of time before you get eaten, then press the button at the right time to get someone off. It's basically... Wouldn't say so much a quick time event, but not far off it, but not an annoying quick time event, which a lot of games do, because, God, I hate quick time events.
Yeah. Grand. Okay, so my review this week is going to be... it's actually the same game I reviewed in the pilot, but all games I've played since then have not been...
Unless you've hacked into Paul's hard drive, you've not heard that pilot, so...
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, we may release that as part of our episode 10 spectacular.
Oh, we're being optimistic, man.
I'm going to talk about an iOS game. It's called Water. It's kind of cutesy-poo, but I actually quite enjoy it. It's a puzzle game. It's a crocodile called Swampy, and he wants to take a shower. There is water that pours in the top of the level. You have to remove the soil so that the water can get into the shower hose. During the time, you have to collect things like ducks. Sometimes there's acid. You have to move the acid away. I think it's fantastic. For all the cost it is, I think I want to say £1.50. For all the cost it is, it's a fantastic little puzzle game. If you're bored of Plants vs Zombies and Angry Birds, it's all on that kind of line. It's pick up and play when you're on the train. Superb. £1.50, go for it. And that's my review. Sam, do you have anything to review this week?
I would very much like to review the game that I found for my phone, which was called Rip Her Clothes Off, but I'm not going to.
Yep, best we leave that one. Are you going to review a different game, though? That was your review, but we vetoed it. Good.
You've been playing Shogun.
Yeah, I played Shogun, and I shot samurais, and they died.
Superb.
Excellent game. Highly recommend it for anyone who likes RTSs.
Yeah, I do quite enjoy those games. The sad thing is that they've never, apart from Rome Total War, they've never ever released them on Steam for the Mac. I have to boot in my Windows 7 partition to play them, which I rarely do, but When I do play those games.
You
fantastic
can
games.
Call artillery strikes ball down on people holding swords and bows and arrows. How could you not love that?
I know.
What's the game library like on Steam and Mac now? Is it
it's getting better.
It is getting better, but it's nowhere near where they kind of pitched it was going to be when it first got released.
No.
I mean,
no.
When they released it, it was a massive fanfare. It was going to be, you know, a category one platform. You're going to get all the games exactly the same time as it comes to PC. It never, ever happened. Some games do come at the same time, but...
It's what they realise, oh, hang on, we're going to have to recode the game for Mac.
I was quite looking exactly forward to the point where Mac and PC could quite happily play the same game
against
on multiplayer, mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's just never materialised.
I think that's mainly because it would hang too much and the Mac users would just get really bored of waiting on the PC users firing back up again.
Right, Paul, that's the last time I try and support you in any fashion. I've actually written a letter to Steam asking them not to bring out any more games on Mac.
Yeah, no, that was a joke. I didn't mean that, but...
I meant mine.
I mean, Portal came out on both platforms at the same time. Portal 2, I should say.
It did.
Which is fantastic.
The only one so far that has done, isn't it?
Was there not
as far as I remember, any mainstream
well,
ones,
yeah,
I can't remember any
like
other.
Well, yeah, there's lower end, but...
Yeah.
You bought that for your PS3 as well, because it was not an account. Could you actually share with someone on a Mac with the PS3 or the PC?
I don't think you play at the same time, but certainly when you bought it...
You share your account.
On the PS... Yeah, totally. Yeah, because it's exactly the same. It's the same account I sign into my... Yeah. Like, because I've got Steam on my Windows 7 partition, and it's the same account.
Yeah, Steam and PS3 work together.
Yeah, because if you bought the game on the PS3, you meant you basically owned the game for the PC and Mac as well or something.
That was a really annoying weekend, though. Because the weekend that Steam came out was the weekend that the PlayStation Network went down for about 2 weeks. So I got the game Portal, primarily to play it on my PC, because that's where I wanted to play it.
You'd set up or organise a co-op game with someone or something, did you say?
I far preferred playing it with like the double mouse click than playing it on the PlayStation. It arrived, and the only reason I bought it on the PS3 was just to get the two versions, because I could have bought it just on the PC or the Mac, but then I wouldn't have got the PlayStation version.
And for much the same money.
And so it was much of a muchness. But then when I got it, the PlayStation Network went down for the weekend. Well, for a good couple of weeks it was down back then. And never got to play it on my Mac.
And because...
I completed it on my PlayStation.
Activate on the PlayStation Network so it worked on your
totally.
Mac.
Continuation of my complete lack of any professionalism in any form. But it just occurred to me, being that
hence
we're talking...
the headphones you're wearing.
Oh, yeah. bright pink, by the way.
Sam's headphones he brought to use for this podcast were broken
failed.
On arrival. So he's now wearing my daughter's rather beautiful pink skull candy headphones.
I look hot.
It's a lovely look, Sam. Yeah, it really is.
When you're hot, you're hot. talking about Steam and Valve and da-da-da-da-da, has there been any word at all on Half-Life?
No.
None. It's just gone dead in the water.
It's still like, well...
I don't think it's dead in the water.
No, surely someone's making... They surely are doing something, but...
The priority system they run on is odd, though, isn't it?
Because, episode 3, well, basically, the way they actually started episode 3 should have been bloody years ago.
Oh, yeah.
But, I think they've abandoned it, and I think they are hopefully just full... tilt work on half a proper halfway through now, but it's Gabe Newell I read today as well saying that there's no surprises for E3. Anything they're shown at E3 we already know about, which sounds like no Half-Life 3, unless he's just calling a bluff. But
well, yeah, it's possible.
I hope so.
Isn't their general work ethic though, work on what you fancy and see how it goes?
Yeah, based on the
I quite like
the
that,
user manual thing. Sorry, the staff manual that came out a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, exactly. It's whatever you fancy. Jump on.
Hence why they made Left 4 Dead so quick. Well, Left 4 Dead Zombies.
Because they loved it, yeah. It's a really good way of getting really good, passionate games out.
Well, it kind of is, but I would have thought more people want to work on Half-Life 3.
Yeah, where's my damn Half-Life 3? Yeah.
If I was working there, that would be the first place I would go.
Or even
or
one, of, one of the supposedly...
The tap put in the back of your head. Either way, I'm kind of good.
Maybe they've made the game engine, the folk are actually making the game, they've done it, they've got everything ready for Half-Life 3, but the guy who writes the script went, yeah, I don't want to do it yet.
Yeah, he's far too busy working on the next iPhone puzzle game.
Yeah.
He's working on Water, actually, for Disney. Water 2.
Okay.
So, the next section that I've decided to add in here. I'm not actually consulted with Sam and Chiz about.
Yeah.
This is a completely new thing that neither of them know about. It's kind of off an idea that Sam gave me a couple of weeks ago, and it's something that I want to bring in.
All my ideas are bad.
I like how he shifted the blame if this horribly doesn't work.
It started as an idea from Sam. But basically the idea is that every 2 weeks I have to find a game for both of you that cost me under £3.
This was not my idea.
Sam emailed me and suggested that we should... I think it was actually Sam's brother Josh's idea.
It was.
That we should each try and play a rubbish game. But I thought, it's going to be very difficult because we're all going to choose a game that we kind of like but know is a bit rubbish. We've already played it. So this way, I get to find the two of you an awesome game. I've got to try and find the cheapest game possible under £3 that's not a mainstream game that's just really old.
Was Josh's idea not like a random Japanese game?
It was, but I actually tried to do that, but it made it very difficult.
We particularly wanted to play one game, which I doubt I'm even allowed to name on this channel without giving us an R rating.
It's so one letter added to it, it's Battle Rapper.
Yeah, we're, you're right. Leave that.
Game.
Leave it. So, under £3 or £3 or under is the challenge. I've got to find a game for each. And the challenge you guys have got to do is within the next 2 weeks before we record again, you have to play at the very least 1 hour of this game and then come back and review it. So
you actually have the game.
I actually have went away and bought them today.
God.
I've got one each, different games. I actually bought about 10 because that'll do us for future episodes. So, the first one.
Did you just pick them at random? Or
yeah,
completely
did any
random. Research?
If I had never heard of them and they were under £3,
Games you haven't heard of. I've heard of every one at least.
I will be impressed if you've heard of this one. Chiz, for you, the game is called Mind Jack.
I've heard of that.
All right, okay.
I haven't.
Cost me £3 in CEX in Rose Street in Edinburgh.
Xbox 360
it's
as well.
It's an Xbox 360 game.
£3, folks.
I had a horrible moment. I thought I was going to dig out my PlayStation 2 again or something.
No, that's coming. And Sam's game cost me a massive 50 pence.
I'm looking forward to this.
I'm worth more than you, boy.
So the sailors tell me.
It's a collector's edition. It's a collector's edition,
is
Sam.
Is it?
Cost me 50 pence again from CEX in Rose Street in Edinburgh. And it's called Invasion Earth.
I've never
heard
of that.
That looks excellent. Oh, I'm so happy.
So, we'll do this as a bigger segment next week, but the idea is you guys go away, you play an hour of this game. So, Sam's looking really, really
looking
happy.
At the cover, Sam, what sort of games it look like to you?
The cover art is bad. The cover art is actually what I would expect from the graphics in-game 10 years ago. According to the back, the actual graphics are
it's an RTS.
Worse. however, it does look like a bit of a rip-off of... what was that UFO game?
UFO.
No, that's the new one that's coming out. The original had a different name, which I can't remember.
XCOM.
Yeah, it looks like XCOM.
So enjoy.
I like it's got like it's got 4 to 5 stars and awesome by Game Blitz.
By Game Blitz? Well known.
Yeah. The downside to the PC game, which I never thought about till I was on the train home from work tonight, is that some of these games might actually not work on systems that we own.
Yeah. Might not be compatible.
You can't get emulator, Sam, so you should be good. And you probably have access to quite a bit of older kit anyway, so you might have a chance.
It's all burnt down.
So
through scurrying through skips in his spare time.
So play them for an hour and report back with a review next week. And my theory is with this, we may actually find some nuggets. You know, we may find a game for 50 pence that we didn't even know.
That I end up playing 300-odd hours. Well, can I just...
You'd like to think no game is so bad that you feel bad you spent 50 pence on it.
I often feel dirty when scraping through the bargain bin.
I could have went towards my Mars bar.
One last word on this game. Apparently, you will surely love it. And that's CNET.
Well...
We all know that.
Chiz, what's your thoughts?
Mindjack. Your mind is not your own. Mindjack offers a unique gameplay experience where players can hack into host game at into a host game, okay, that is the exact actual, I thought I read that wrong, as an ally or enemy and hack into soldiers, civilians, mechanical bionic creatures, and weaponry. Set in AD 2031, new technology has been born. Blah, 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 blah.
So, while Sam and Chiz are reading through their game challenges for the week, I'm going to go on and thank our sponsor. So this podcast and all others wouldn't be possible without UK2.net. They've kept the British Tech Network afloat for over 3 years now, and they're brilliant, and you should use them. There's a whole pile of voucher codes that have just been done. Basically, I've gotten these from you and British Tech News, so I'm just going to go through them. I believe they're going to put them on the website. I think the intention is to put them on this weekend. If you go into the British Tech, BritishTechNetwork.com, you'll be able to check all these voucher codes. But if you type in British Tech DNS, that's free DNS for 2 years. British Tech Domains, and with this code, you get with the previous version of the domains code, you got 15% off. But putting in British Tech Domains, you now get 20% off. British Tech VPN gives you 50% off your first month's VPN charges, which could potentially come to quite a huge amount. British Tech Server is £50 off any gigabit server. It's on any contract length that you've done online. You can't ring up and get that deal, so you've got to go online to do that one. And finally, it's British Tech VPS gives you your first month's free with a VPS server. If you pick the lowest level server, that's only about $8.95 for a month or below. But what they'll do is give you either $8.95 or they'll give you the first month free, whatever charges there are. So that's a minimum. There's an awesome slider on VPS, so you can go through and kind of sort of exactly what you need. So there you go. So you've got British Tech DNS, British Tech Domains, British Tech VPN, British Tech Server, and British Tech VPS. And as I say, all these codes should actually be on the British Tech Network website, so you can go on and check them there. So there you go, UK2. They're awesome. I moved some of my sites over there at the weekend, and they are superb. So that's that done. So picks. What picks have we got?
I'm in shock after that game. I don't know what to say. I did notice, however, that I'm not sure if I can install it because I need 150 megabytes of free hard disk space.
You have to delete all your cat videos.
Oh, not Mr. Mew Mew.
I've got some doozies for the coming weeks as well.
What, cat videos?
No, games.
I'm going to pick some for you as well now.
That's fine. But just that it has to be under £3. You can't spend any more than £3 in the game.
No, that was your rules for us, and you didn't tell us about it. We will come up with our own rules. Thank you very much.
No, that's the segment. £3 a game. Because otherwise you could end up spending 40 quid.
Your first one's going to be just like Ball Egg Cup.
I'm good to play
Ball
that
on String Egg Cup. And it's 3 days straight.
The thing is, we could end up finding some superb old game that none of us knew about.
Not if you're choosing them.
Well, no, I mean, I just went in and literally bought any game I saw in CEX and Wall Street.
And the guy behind the cover is going, holy crap, I've hit the jackpot today.
They've had those games on the shelf for years and I've just taken them off their hands.
They wouldn't believe that they're telling the story in the management building.
Excuse me. So picks. Chiz, what's your pick this week?
I've been playing Formula 1 2011 with your brother on co-op. And again, Edge, I bought the Xbox 360 wireless speed wheel.
Was he wiping the floor with you too much, was he?
He's not. I'm generally better in most genres, but racing games is forte. So yeah, he was beating me.
Is it like me with Guitar Hero?
No, because I'm a wee bit closer to him than that. I was still ahead of him in the championship before I got it, but I felt like I wanted to play it with a steering wheel, and I couldn't afford a really expensive steering wheel, and Xbox you can't buy their old wireless feedback steering wheel anymore unless you want to pay a fortune on eBay. So I went and bought the Xbox 360 wireless speed wheel for about 35 quid. And after changing settings, it works pretty well. I was quite impressed with it, and definitely felt faster with that than was with the controller. And yeah,
cool.
So far after three races, after four races, I've won two, came second in one because the rain screwed me up, and he'd gotten the right tyres. So nothing to do with skill. And the other one, I was being a bit too cocky and lost my front wing and put into a wall and came third.
Nice. Nice. And how much does one of them set you back?
I think it goes between anywhere between £30 and £45, but you can, I think it retails mainly at £45, but you can definitely find it a lot cheaper on that.
Right, okay, cool. And Sam, what's your pick this week?
My pick this week, it would probably be Darkness 2. Had a bit of a bash through it, quite enjoyed it. Running around in the dark, shooting stuff, and horrible tentacles ripping people apart. What is not to like?
Definitely. Sounds superb. And so my pick, we definitely, I'm sorry, I'm going to go back to Water, I have to say. I love that little game.
Again.
£50. iOS App Store, I'm not actually sure if you can get it for Android or not.
No.
You sell like an iPad and iPhone version, but £1.50, Water, that's my pick. And so finally, if you want to get a hold of us, you can just email britishtechnews@gmail.com. If you want to follow any of us, you can only follow one of us because the other two are social lepers when it comes to Twitter and things like that.
And real life.
And real life. Yep. So if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm Paul Wheatley.
That's my only human contact.
Paul Wheatley, which is Paul, W-H-E-A-T-L-E-Y. So you get a hold of me there. We will in future, we fully intend to do... Xbox Live session, so something like Red Dead Redemption or something like that. We'll give out one of our gamer tags so that you can join us on a Sunday night. Unfortunately, we can't do this Sunday night because my sister-in-law is doing a benefit pub quiz because she's climbing Kilimanjaro in the summer. So that's this Sunday night out. But next episode, we will organise an Xbox Live session. You can all come on and join and shoot each other in the Wild West. So that's us. So thanks very much, gents. That's another week. And we will see you in the next episode. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.